take a deep breath, take the higher road. That's what they always say, as if they know the way. They won't take it from me. But don't ever doubt yourself, it's life ain't just a dream. You make your own, so kick and scream. The people move alike with a never-ending force. You never had the chance, so what you waiting for? The day has come, my friend, cause this is war.
Everyone, you are listening to Jody O'Malley on Nurses Out Loud. And over the last couple months, we have highlighted cases of medical kidnapping that's being done from Child Protective Services and Adult Protective Services. Well, today I have with me the mysterious and little understood system called guardianship or conservatorship. This burst into the public consciousness in 2021 with the case of pop star Britney Spears. After living under court-ordered restrictions for nearly 14 years, Spears finally spoke out about her plight. She had been stripped of her civil rights, forced to work, involuntarily medicated, denied the right to freely travel, or to spend the money that she earned, and rejected when she wanted to marry and have a baby. Well, Britney isn't the only adult who has lost crucial rights through the guardianship system. An estimated 1.5 to 2 million Americans are currently living under similar court-mandated circumstances. Many of these arrangements for so-called wards of the court work out well. But after a year-long study of the system, author Diane Diamond discovered the number of predatory players appointed by the court to control the life and finances of wards is astounding, and the number of victims is staggering. As Diane writes in her book, We're Here to Help, consider that every year, new guardianships and conservatorships place more than $50 billion under the control of others, and with the average case lasting about 6 years. Informed critics estimate that predatory players illegally divert multiple billions of dollars from this monstrous cache of money each year. Diamond insists that the sheer numbers of these abusive cases reported by loving family members and worried friends across the United States screams for attention to be paid. We're Here to Help reveals that anyone can file a simple petition with a state court asking that a guardianship be established. Petitioners can be family members, angry business associates, neighbors, former lovers, or strangers. Those at risk include young people with inheritances, individuals who've won sizable workman comp or medical malpractice settlements, veterans with attractive pension payouts, and victims of mental illness or brain injuries who, even after they recover, find it nearly impossible to break free from the system. Divorce attorneys in contested cases have counseled male clients to petition for guardianships of their uncooperative wives, and judges have complied. The cases highlighted in the book were found in Pennsylvania, Ohio, New York, and Florida. Women are most affected by guardianship. As elderly widows, they become ripe for conscription, and their caregivers are most often their daughters, not their sons. Guardians give presentations at senior centers and nursing homes, urging audience members not to saddle their children with caretaking responsibilities. Guardians may share contact information for those interested with estate and elder law attorneys who pursue court-ordered guardianships. Lawyers, guardians, and conservators operating in the guardianship field can charge between $250 and $600 an hour for tasks as mundane as opening mail, paying bills, or answering an email. They can hire any number of assistants, including financial advisors, in-home healthcare, cooks, landscapers, and personal shoppers. The ward's estate pays for everything. Jurists often allow the guardian to ignore a ward's will, power of attorney, and other legal documents. While some states are enacting reform bills to regulate the current system, there have been no proposals to overhaul it. Congress has known about guardianship systematic problems for nearly half a century, but no definitive legislation to curb the exploitation has ever been passed. By highlighting a multitude of real-life stories, We're Here to Help explains this secretive process step by step. Readers will come to understand how family squabbles over what to do with an at-risk relative can spiral into a complicated nightmare of unwanted court intervention. Diamond includes chapters about alternative programs a judge could establish and protective legal steps readers can take to help safeguard their families. We're going to go through the book and answer some important questions so that at the end of this podcast, you are able to take steps to protect yourself. Guys, we talk about the medical kidnapping, and this was absolutely apparent during the last 4 years with COVID. This happens with children, that they get lost into the child protective services system. And this is absolutely happening. So thank you, Diane, for highlighting this. I actually just watched the documentary on Wendy Williams and became familiar with you. So I am happy to meet and talk to another courageous woman that's exposing the truth. So welcome.
Well, thank you so much. That was a great intro and all inclusive. I can add a little bit to each of the things that you said, but I really appreciate you and your audience being interested in this topic. I really think that it's like the most under-discussed civil rights issue of our time. Nobody talks about the up to 2 million Americans who are living under guardianship right now. And as you say, many of them work out just fine. A loving family member, somebody the person trusts, is named as the guardian. But I'll tell you, after 8 years of looking into this, I have discovered that more and more judges, they just don't name a member of the family to be the guardian in charge of medical and financial decisions. Instead, they're appointing some of their own legal cronies that hang around the courtroom waiting for the next appointment to one of these cases. And those are the ones that I write about in the book. Again, as I said in the intro of the book, journalists don't write about the trains that arrive on time. We write about the trains that run off the track and perhaps kill people. And I'm telling you, guardianship kills people, most often because they're just emotionally drained by it. And many times because they're over-medicated at the guardian's instruction.
Yeah.
It's frightening.
It's frightening. In this documentary with Wendy Williams, and she, to the listeners out there, she was a daytime talk show host. And prior to that, she had a decade plus long career on radio. And people absolutely loved her. And she had some issues, she dealt with alcoholism and, they didn't know if it was related to some type of dementia or dementia induced by alcoholism. But it was apparent to me, listening to her family, that they loved and cared about her. And, they hit them from different angles. So it wasn't, in no way, shape or form, did I ever feel like they were lying. And for Wendy not to have their love and their support be granted to them when they wanted to give that to her was absolutely appalling and frightening to me.
And get this, Jody, the way that Wendy Williams, and again, she had, like Britney Spears, she had issues. She has Graves' disease. She has a lymphedema in her legs and feet. She has an alcohol problem ever since her husband came home and told her that he was having a baby with another woman.
Mm-hmm.
And then her mother died. And then her only child, her son, Kevin Jr., went off to college. And then COVID hit.
Yep.
And that's when her family tells me she began to drink. I mean, it just all became too much. So who guardianizes her? Who takes the petition to court and says this woman needs protection under the guardianship system? Her financial advisor at Wells Fargo.
Yeah.
What?
Right.
The Wells Fargo woman decided that Wendy was not spending her money prudently.
Mm-hmm.
So as you said in the intro, anybody can hire a lawyer, and there's a lot of those lawyers around willing to do this, write up a petition, take it to a judge, and 98% of the time, the judge just says, oh, okay, and rubber stamps it, and a guardianship is, or conservatorship, it's called in some states, it's underway, and it's almost impossible to get out of.
Yeah, impossible. You know, I work in the ER, and, you know, sometimes we have to have patients, you know, be a ward of the state. But it's really kind of frightening to think that people that work, you know, social workers that don't have a high degree, you know, CPS workers, it's not like, you know, it doesn't take much to become one of these. And this is what I'm trying to get at.
Services worker, right?
Yeah, that they will be able to determine the fate of a child, a parent, you know, a person under mental health. You know, because lots of the times the doctors and the ER, they refer it to crisis prevention and recovery. And those are the people that determine if, you know, the state needs to take control. But it's absolutely frightening to see that this happens in all facets, and understanding that with Child Protective Services, lots of children are sexually trafficked in this area, right? They lose where the child is even at. And that's true of this case of guardianship. I think the documentary for Williams came out last year, but the family had to wait a whole year before going in front of the judge that they're supposed to do this year to see if they can get their sister, aunt, cousin, daughter back, you know?
She's been, Wendy Williams, has been under guardianship for quite a while. And so when you watch that documentary of her literally drinking herself into a stupor day after day after day, to my mind, and from what I learned after 8 years of investigating this system, where the hell was her guardian?
Yeah.
You know, the camera crew told me, because I was part of that documentary just briefly, but they told me that they kept calling the guardian saying, are you sure it's okay for us to be here? I mean, we came to film a documentary about Wendy Williams' comeback from talk show to podcast, radio personality. And now we realize it's a completely different story. I mean, she is drunk all the time. She's rapidly losing weight. Ms. Guardian, are you aware of all this? And they told me, the guardian said, yeah, go ahead. You're fine. Wendy Williams is the executive producer of the piece. So she probably wants to do this. So go ahead. So for like a year and a half, Wendy Williams, I live in New York. Wendy Williams is wandering around the city by herself, falling asleep in retail stores, going out to gay bars till 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning. Again, where was her guardian?
Right.
So something that people need to realize, a judge declares a guardianship is in place, appoints a guardian, a conservator, a court visitor, all these people, and then nobody really supervises them.
Right.
So this guardian, as far as I understand, has had absolutely almost zero contact with Wendy Williams for all that time. And then 2 days before this documentary was released, it came out late in February, just a few weeks ago. This guardian puts out a press release announcing Wendy Williams' diagnosis that she has frontal aphasia and frontal lobe dementia.
Yeah.
Now, you're in the medical field. Many of the people listening to this and watching are in the medical field. That's a clear-cut HIPAA violation.
Yep.
I don't know what this guardian was thinking. So these are the kind of people they put in charge of other people's lives.
Yeah, and I can only imagine how much money Wendy has, right? And the fact that they removed her son from being her, you know, guardian, and her family, her father still, or power of Yeah, it just, you know, money does have a lot to do with this. I mean, there's no denying that, you know, these programs would not exist if there wasn't a lot of money in the system, you know, that people are, you know, have put in the system for them to take.
Yeah. Well, you said every year, this is a states run program. So every year collectively, the states seize from wards, the minute they declared them incapacitated, they seize all their money to the tune of $50 billion a year. And because the guardianships on average last about 6 years, so many elderly people then pass on, about 6 years, that's a pot of money, $300 billion.
Wow.
So is it any wonder that the unscrupulous flock to work within this system? Mm-hmm. It's ill-regulated. It's largely unsupervised. There's all this money that goes from the ward's name into their name, into the guardian's name immediately.
Yeah.
Well, now they have all the money. Many of these guardians just ignore the wards. They let the nursing home or a home health care aide take care of them. They completely ignore them. Here in New York, for example, there was a woman, 58 years old, ward. She was made a ward of the court. Guardian got all of her money, all of her estate, put her in her back in her apartment with a home health care aide, and she starved to death.
Mm-hmm.
She starved to death.
Wow. Wow.
I mean, this is how we protect people in America.
Right.
Can I say one more thing, Jody, for your particular audience?
Mm-hmm.
You work in the ER. Well, many guardians and many attorneys that play in this pool of money have secret contacts with workers in emergency rooms, hospital admissions, geriatric offices, doctors, you know, psychiatrists, psychologists' offices, and they pay them like $100 for each referral. Who is, you know, kind of on the edge, or who is elderly and has no family, who has a cerebral palsy or multiple sclerosis and a lot of money. And these names get passed on from trolls in all of these offices to people who then take that information and they can go apply for guardianship or conservatorship without the person ever even knowing there's a legal process underway. How about that?
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
And I can see how they could sell it too, you know, to someone. So for example, when I started work in the ER almost 10 years ago, I was shocked at how many, you know, adults that are 85, 90, 95 years old that still care for themselves, right? That don't have any family. Yes, mm-hmm. That live in all alone. And, you know, in the beginning, I was like, oh my gosh, this, you know, 95-year-old woman is coming in with a certain complaint and we're discharging her. Like, how is that? You know, we're discharging her back to home to where she has to call a taxi cab, you know, at 3 a.m. and get in safe. And so I can see where they could tap into that emotional aspect with nurses or doctors that, you know, work in that field. But it absolutely is unethical for money to be tied to that.
Oh, and they're very earnest about it. People who, and again, there are great people who work within the guardianship system. I'm talking in this book, and to anyone who will listen, about the criminally minded that are working in this system. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just astounding to think that people would flock to a system that protects the vulnerable and then prey on them.
Mm-hmm.
It's just amazing to me that it has been allowed to go on for so long. I write in the book about mid-80s, I used to cover Capitol Hill as a rookie radio reporter. And I remember Congressman Claude Pepper from Florida, and he had these big hearings about guardianship and how awful it was. And victims came and testified, and he flew in a convicted guardian from his prison cell in Detroit or someplace to come and testify about how he did it and how easy it was to steal money from the wards because nobody was looking.
Mm-hmm.
That was the mid-80s, and right. Nothing has been done subsequently to correct the system. There's not one federal law that regulates this system. And we don't even keep track of how many people are in guardianship. There's not one government entity. I mean, we keep track of missing cars and boats and children. I hope we keep track of all the children, but we have no idea how many people have lost their civil rights, had all their assets confiscated by the court, and live under the rule of a total stranger.
Right. And how easy that can happen, because like I said, every person likes to pass the buck, and they pass the buck to agencies that they feel are regulated, that do have the appropriate staff to care for this person, as in the case of, you know, the ER doc, you know, not wanting to sign off on a suicidal patient to go home. They refer that to the social workers. You know, and then I can see where a social worker, their statement, you know, to a judge would say, okay, well, I'd rather you just take control over this, your agency, instead of me giving them to the family member, because how did they get here in the first place? You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And it is, I mean, listen, if we really wanted to help the most vulnerable in this country, is this what we would do? I mean, if we really wanted to help that population, why are so many people sleeping on the street in Phoenix and New York and LA and Boston and Detroit and Baltimore? I could go on and on. It's people with money.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be a lot of money. I mean, the stories I tell in the book and that are in my head that didn't even make the book would just astound you.
Well, I'd like to hear some of those stories on the other side of this break. But for this half, we have a couple minutes, and I do want to touch on COVID for a second and Wendy Williams very briefly, because I knew immediately in February, March of 2020, that when they locked down people for this so-called 2 weeks to slow the spread, and then started implementing isolation precautions and you know, you name it, on people, removing the advocate from the bedside, Diane. We removed and said that your advocate cannot come into the hospital because you tested positive for COVID. So we need to protect you from them. You know, those types of things. And to see the demise that this happened. I mean, Wendy Williams is one case, but I think she probably speaks for millions of people that have been in recovery for different things, whether it be sexual abuse or, you know, narcotics or alcohol or weight loss. How those people really, you know, they couldn't get the help they need. They didn't have community anymore, right? They were just isolated.
Yep. Absolutely. And here in New York, I'm sure everyone has heard what our former governor did. And many of the people in guardianship suddenly find their guardian has sold their house and they're put into a nursing home. And then what happened during COVID? Many of them, and I write about them in the book, many of them died there all alone.
Yes. Yeah. We'll touch on all of this on the second half of the break. This is a riveting conversation, one that every single person needs to know about, you know, whether it's your time. And guys, it doesn't matter if you are 18 years old or if you're 99 years old. It doesn't matter. If you have money and you have, you know, an inheritance, you are a target. And I think that that is something that really we need to drive home. This could happen to any person. Guys, I also encourage you to, you know, like, share, comment, review our show on whatever platform that you're listening to us on, whether it be iHeart Talk Radio or you're listening to us on Apple, Spotify, Pandora, Stitcher, you name it, we're everywhere. Please share the show. like it, review it, rate it, and bump us up in the feeds, because what we speak about here on Nurses Out Loud and America Out Loud Talk Radio Network is stuff that is important to you guys. And you have made us such a success. It's amazing. We have the best in class. So if you did download the America Out Loud Talk Radio app, you can listen live 24/7 to whatever show is playing at that time. And also go to our shop, AmericaOutloud.shop. We have a variety of products that we know are important to you guys, and you get exclusive discounts to the America Out Loud Talk Radio listeners. And lastly, nurses@AmericaOutloud.com is our email address. So if you want to be a guest on the show, you want to co-host with us, you have questions, comments, concerns, we would love to hear from you. So we'll pick up on this awesome conversation right after the break.
It's time and this is
what. ASEA believes that inside each of us is the potential to feel our very best. Our redox-based products tap into reserves within you to power your personal well-being. Make our breakthrough products an essential step in fulfilling your greatest potential. ASEA, we power potential. For exclusive savings, use code OUTLOUD to save 15% off your first order today.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit healright.com/outloud or americaoutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
58 million people suffer from joint aches and stiffness in the U.S. every day. Ignoring chronic joint discomfort can affect mobility and your quality of life. Advanced Nutrition Company, Healthy Cell, created Joint Health and Mobility to support connective tissue, joint lubrication, and reduce joint irritation with curcumin, omega-3, chondroitin, glucosamine, and hyaluronic acid for joint comfort and flexible range of motion. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with clinically proven ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients. You would need to take 11 pills to get the same amount of nutrients in each gel pack. And these great-tasting gels come in a small packet. Tear off the top, shoot it down, or mix it in water. It's 100% drug-free joint support. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com, code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company launched the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. The Wellness Company's chief medical board designed every supplement and medical protocol with your health in mind. From groundbreaking supplements like the Spike Support Formula to unique care like Freedom from Big Pharma. Join a healthcare system that puts your health and well-being above the interest of Big Pharma's bottom line. It's the way healthcare should be, with a company that shares your values. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
It's time and this is why.
Welcome back. You are listening to Nurses Out Loud, and I'm your host, Nurse Jodi O'Malley. Today, I have with me Diane Diamond, who is the author of We Are Here to Help. It is When Guardianship Goes Wrong. This is an explosive and compelling book that tells the stories, the human stories behind the headlines, and shows how to avoid the risk of voluntary or involuntary guardianship. This state-run guardianship, called conservatorship, in some states is largely unregulated. It's ill understood and increasingly populated by financially motivated predators. Just how guardianship works and its real life effects remain a mystery to most until the very public case of Britney Spears came out. It suddenly became clear that those conscripted into the system lose all their civil rights in the process. And reformers estimate that there are currently 1.5 to 2 million Americans under court-appointed control, but no one can say for sure how many are affected because no government keeps track of citizens who have lost the right to determine their own fate. Wow. I mean, yeah, I'd love to hear some of your stories, Diane. And before we finish, we will get some advice from you on how to protect ourselves.
You know, when I tell people, I've been an investigative reporter for 100 years. You know, I've done crime and justice till it's coming out my ears. But I had never heard of this system. Mm-hmm. And I first got a call from a friend of mine in my hometown in Albuquerque, New Mexico, telling me what was happening with her father. And I thought, you know, this can't be real. This doesn't happen in America. Are you kidding? Right. But the reason the public, Jody, doesn't know about this system. Oh, they've heard, you know, Britney Spears and Wendy Williams and Jay Leno is trying to get his conservatorship over his wife because she has dementia. And so we hear little snippets about the celebrity cases. But the reason you don't, the public, general public doesn't know about it is because it's all conducted in secret. These are secret hearings. Courtroom doors are closed. Although I did get into one hearing in Pennsylvania one time, I was quickly escorted out. The case files are closed, and judges routinely issue gag orders on the family. So they're not allowed to go out and talk about what's going on. So this is why the public doesn't know. Yeah. But I started to dig into this, and I explain it all in the book, but I started to dig into it, and I found family members who just said, I do not care if I'm under a gag order. I've got documents for you to see, Diane, and you can put me on the record, and here are some quotes from me. And I found these very, very brave but frustrated family members that started talking to me.
Well, thank God for that because, well, first of all, thank you for being an investigative reporter because we don't have that anymore. Nobody wants to investigate. It's the same thing that they did to doctors and nurses throughout COVID when we were talking about alternative treatments or about the cases that we were seeing of safety signals related to this experimental COVID injection. You know, it's like they tell you, oh, you're going to lose your license if you speak out. And people followed their paycheck instead of people, right? And why they're in the field that they're in. So, yeah, the investigative reporter, I want to talk briefly about that. What do you feel that has happened to investigative reporters actually investigating? Because we don't really see that anymore. What do you feel has happened, you know, to that field?
Well, there are lots of people who call themselves investigative reporters and, you know, God bless them. But what's happened mostly is money. It's all comes down to money. Yeah, I grew up in radio and then television. I did a lot of TV. And then I just decided, you know, I like to write. I'm going to go write books. So this one is my fourth book. But it's really the news directors in newspapers, television, radio, that they can't spare a reporter long enough to really go in and figure out what guardianship is, because it's a dense topic. It's very complicated. And the family stories are long and involved and sorrowful. And you have to figure out, you know, what's right and what can you confirm. And so it's really down to money. A TV news department may have 7 reporters now when they used to have 22. Mm-hmm. So that's why I think you don't see it on television so much. They call themselves investigative reporters, but and I have respect for them. I'm not putting them down. I understand the economics of it. Newspapers, magazines, they have a little bit more leeway. And so that's where you find the investigative.
Well, and we have to. We have to understand too that Big Pharma and their advertising dollars really supports a lot of networks. That's why you didn't have anybody wanting to speak out. I mean, even, you know, when my story was released, Tucker Carlson and Candace Owens were both supposed to interview me. And the next day they didn't, you know, and I don't know why, but they didn't. And no, that it would have gotten the word out to millions more people. You know, my story exploded because people were just dying for the truth. They wanted to hear somebody speak out on what they knew and in their spirit was wrong. And word of mouth was what spread my story. But, you know, people got canceled off of Facebook for sharing my story, off of social media. So we have to understand, you know, the term follow the money. I think whenever you hear about anything that's of concern to you, follow the money and see who's supporting these things, you know, because they certainly don't want people to know.
And with guardianship, there's a pot of $300 billion available at any given time. So why don't states do something to really reform guardianship? Well, follow the money. Like you say, Jody, there's the American Bar Association. There's the Nursing Home Association. There's the Guardianship Association. Mm-hmm. There's the Judgeship Associations. There are these very powerful groups that are in state legislature hallways in every state that's considering ways to reform the system, saying, oh, the status quo works just fine. We're protecting these people from their family members. You see, this is the thing that happens in the Wendy Williams case. There was a gossip started about Wendy Williams' son. I believe it came from The Guardian. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the son was charging a lot of things on his mother's credit card and she was being exploited, Your Honor.
Right.
So to protect her, let's put her into guardianship. And the judge said, okay.
Yeah.
I happen to know that judge here, and she's involved in several cases, and that guardian is involved in several similar, what I consider to be exploitive cases. So it's the same players. Mm-hmm. You know, the guardians give campaign contributions to the judges, and then after the judges decide they want to make some real money, they get a job with the law firm that they've been handing all the lucrative guardianships to. Follow the money. You're so wise.
Wow. Well, you know, did you hear about the case the movie Take Care of Maya? Have you heard about that story?
Oh, yes, I have. Yes, I've heard about it.
Yes, that was the medical kidnapping case. And it was found out that, you know, the people that were protecting Maya, they were all kind of working together and in cahoots with the hospital. And you know what I'm saying? It's just like, again, you know, we typically have held these people, doctors, you know, PhDs, judges, you know, our public political people on a higher pedestal, you know, and they many times are not worthy of that, because so often I have seen, just being in this space for the last couple of years, how people, they change. They change when they get money, power, influence, you know, and that starts to be their driving force. And then they forget the morals and integrity, which brought them into the space to begin with.
You know, I have a chapter in the book called Guardians from Hell.
That's probably good.
I'll tell you that a few of them are now being held to account. There's a woman in Nevada, excuse me. Her name is April Parks. And if you saw the movie, I Care a Lot with Rosamund Pike, that is apparently situated around April Parks. She is now doing 16 to 40 years in prison for stealing from her guardian, from her wards, rather. This woman was such a control freak and such a bully that when her wards died, she would just have them cremated and she'd put their cremains in a storage locker. They were all found later. She didn't
What's
even bother.
The movie?
It's called I Care a Lot with Rosamund. It's a good depiction of an evil guardian just out for money, but then it kind of veers off into a crazy Hollywood script that makes your eyes roll a little bit. But then there's another guardian, a duo, husband and wife in Albuquerque, New Mexico. They stole almost $12 million from their wards. They're now doing, well, she's going to do life because she was 70 years old. And I think she got 47 years in prison. Her husband got fewer years. There's several in Florida. But get this one. You'll like this one. This woman's name was Rebecca Farrelly. She had like 400 wards in seven different counties in Florida. Now, how does a guardian take care of that many? Well, they don't.
No.
They get money in their name, and then they ignore the wards. But what this woman did was to put do not resuscitate orders on all of her wards. And one veteran, he had a swallowing problem. She also put an order on his chart saying cap his feeding tube. So when he had his swallowing difficulties, she had his feeding tube capped, and it took about a week, but he died. She was indicted. They took her to court. Then COVID happened. Then there were delays. Then all of the charges she was charged with got reduced to like one count of neglecting an elder person. And guess how many years she got in prison? None. She got put on probation, and she's now a life coach in Florida.
Oh, my goodness.
You talk about, I have always been raised to have respect for the judiciary and judges and police officers and people in authority, but that's the kind of stuff that has perpetuated the problem and eroded public trust in our judiciary system. How can a judge allow that to happen?
Yeah, that's wild.
The case of Farrelly is in this book, and it's much bigger than what I've just told you, what she did to various different wards. It's just, turns your stomach.
Yeah, we're going to put your book in our bookstore as well, Diane. Oh, yes, yeah, this is amazing. So, you know, most of us think that we need to have power of attorney, medical power of attorney, but how does that, do people still need that? A will, you know, a living will?
Well, yeah.
Will? Okay.
I mean, you do need it. And people need to understand this about guardianship and conservatorship. You should have a will. You should have an estate plan. You should have a power of attorney and some successors in case the first person dies on you. You should have trusts if you have enough money, or irrevocable trusts. But know this. If you're in a guardianship, the judge can just tell the guardian to ignore it. Just ignore the power of attorney, like they did with Wendy Williams' son. Just ignore that in the will, the house is supposed to go to the adult daughter. Go ahead, sell the house. See, this is what happens. I'll tell you real quick. A petition is filed with the court. The judge says, okay, that person needs protection. Then a guardian is assigned. All of the money goes to the guardian, in the guardian's name, immediately. Well, when the checking account and the savings account, the liquid money, runs out, the guardian goes back to the judge and says, Your Honor, you know, the money's run out. I need to put this person in a nursing home. And so I got to sell their house and everything in it, and their car and their collectibles and their heirlooms. And the judge says, oh, okay. Well, that house and the collectibles and the heirlooms may be in the will to go to somebody else. Or can I break the irrevocable trust, Your Honor? Yes, you can. Well, that money was supposed to go to the grandkids to pay for their college education. So the heirs are left empty-handed. They have no recourse. There is no recourse for the families that are also victimized by this.
Yes, they are. And they lose time with their loved ones. Sometimes, you know, like in Wendy Williams' case, she said, no, the family couldn't be around her. It's like, what? How is one person? Yeah.
They don't know where she is since last June. They still don't know where Wendy is. He doesn't know where his mother is. It's heartbreaking.
That's crazy. Do you know the name of that documentary offhand?
The Wendy Williams?
Yeah.
Yes, it's Where's Wendy Williams, and it's on Lifetime. And it's it first showed on a Saturday and Sunday night. But I think you can get it on demand or streaming or.
Yeah, I think I paid like $5 for it. And it's a 4 or 5 different episodes that you can watch. And I literally binge watched it. I was just floored with what I was seeing. Is there a way to protect ourselves from ever becoming a guardian or not? I understand that if we're, you know, our family is not, you know, prudently really trying to take care of us and they're after the money. Because, you know, a lot of times that happens where there's infighting. And then, you know, if you see any kind of discourse within the family or any red flags, which we all have them, right? Everybody has their family secrets or issues. How do we protect ourselves?
Well, you know, you're right. A lot of these cases start because the grown adult children can't decide what to do with the widowed mom or the widowed dad. And so they squabble, you know, childhood things crop up and they start fighting and one of them will go to a lawyer, an estate lawyer or an elder law lawyer, for example, and they'll be counseled, oh, go for guardianship. It'll be great. You could be appointed as the guardian. But like the cover of my book, it's like a double cross. You're not going to be appointed as the guardian, but now you're in the system and you can't get out. So my first advice to families, which constitute a lot of the petitions that come up, don't fight. Yeah. Don't go to a lawyer. Yeah. Go to family mediation. I know a mediator, sure. But listen, number one, it's going to be a lot less expensive. And number two, the mediator is going to focus you on your loved one. Mm-hmm. Who you're about to guardianize and make a ward of the court. And what's going to happen to that ward of the court? You can fight all you want, brothers and sisters, but it's your elderly mother or your disabled brother or your family member who has a traumatic brain injury. And now you put them in guardianship. And even when they get well from the brain injury, well, they're trapped. Mm-hmm. So mediation. Also, Do your will, do your power of attorney, your trust, but put something on tape. You know, we all have one of these phones here.
Okay.
Put yourself on videotape explaining what you want. And anybody, any member of your family that goes against what you want, maybe goes for guardianship or conservatorship, they're automatically disinherited.
Yes. Ooh,
that'll stop a lot of people from arguing and going to a lawyer and agreeing to go for guardianship. And two, I think we need to really educate our judges. I don't mean this disrespectfully, but these are the lowest of the lowest judges on the ring. Mm-hmm. Now, these are the people, the men and women who couldn't make it in private practice, so they become a judge. And this is where they start. This isn't criminal court. This isn't civil court. It's called an equity court. And there's no due process guaranteed in these courts. There's no trials. There's no, you know, I'd like to present some witnesses. No. That's not the way it works. Mm-hmm. So you have to educate those judges that when you establish these situations, you are consigning this person to really like a legal death.
Yeah.
Someone in death row has more rights than a ward of the court. At least they can hire their own attorney. You know, they can make phone calls. They, you know, mm-hmm. So there's a lot of other suggestions in the book for alternative programs. You know, sometimes people just need a little help paying bills or getting to the store. They don't need this pendulum to swing all the way to a very, very strict guardianship situation. They just need a little what's called supported decision making. Mm. Some, you know, state workers in supported decision making or family friends or volunteers. There are things you can do to protect yourself. And I would say, first of all, don't fight in your family. And second, put something in your will about what you think of guardianship. Do you want one?
Explicitly.
Want one?
Yeah.
Who do you want to be your guardian? Name 5 people mm-hmm. that the judge can. Doesn't guarantee it's going to happen, but at least it's some sort of protection, letting the court know you know about this system and how bad it can get.
Right. I think that's very powerful that you say that. I encourage everyone to get this book, read it. Once you're going through it, follow those steps. It's super powerful to have your face and your voice and your words on video, you know, that people can actually relate to, different than it's just another layer, I guess, of you being explicit in what you want. Sure, go and put it in writing, put it in black and white, get it all legal and all of that. But to speak what you want and exactly like what needs to be in effect, what needs to be in effect, what needs to be happening to you to where you would want it to be elevated. Like tell your family, say, okay, I want this to happen. A, B, and C. If that does not happen and we go down this, you know, this path, then A, B, or C, D, E needs to happen, right? Like just be explicit. Exactly. And your book will help people to navigate that path and have those questions.
And it's down to, you know, do you like the idea of guardianship? Because you could have your granddaughter or your best friend be your guardian if you put it in writing or put it on a video tape. Do you want to be cremated? Do you want to always stay in your house no matter what? If you got enough money and you can hire 24/7, is that what you want? Yeah. Or would you rather go to an assisted living place where things are being taken care of for you? I ask this of myself all the time, and I don't know all those answers yet. But like you say, exactly what you said, it's another layer of protection for you. It's in writing and on a videotape that you give certain people, give them a copy of that video. Mm-hmm. It could protect you in the future.
Right. I mean, it could, you know, you give that to your attorney and you say, hey, if this ever happens, you know, I want you to, you know, show this to the judge. You know, my family is already aware of this tape. So now I want you to admit it into the evidence, you know, as well. Yeah. And very powerful stuff.
For people who think, well, this could never happen to me, let me just tell you a quick story. In Texas, there was a car mechanic who did a bunch of work for a very wealthy retired doctor. And the doctor, a little forgetful, wasn't paying the bill. And it was, you know, in the thousands of dollars, tens of thousands. Mm-hmm. So the mechanic went to his lawyer friend in this little town in Texas and said, what can I do? And he said, go for guardianship of the old man. And he won guardianship. All of a sudden, this car mechanic is in charge of this multi-million dollar estate. Well, it took that family a couple of years and a lot of money. They finally got it dissolved, but that's a rare case. There's a case of a woman from Ohio that went to Rhode Island to see her niece, her favorite niece. And she said, I want to change my will because my brother can't be the power of attorney anymore. He's in a home. So they went to a lawyer, explained what they wanted. Then they went on vacation. They tried to get some money. And the money was all frozen because the lawyer had taken the information they'd given and gone to court and got the older woman guardianized. She was in a home for 18 months. She spent her birthdays and Thanksgivings and Christmases there because this lawyer in Rhode Island said she needed protection from the niece. Well, if she needs protection from the niece, send her home to Ohio. No. They put her in a facility for, I think it was like 16 or 18 months. She finally got out, went home to Ohio, where she quickly died of COVID.
Oh, then there's all that. Oh, Lord, my goodness.
Everything worse.
It did. It was so planned. I swear, every day I'm revealing another reason that this was really just shoved down our throats. You know, we just talked about CDC removing the restrictions of isolation so you can go to work sick, right? You know, well, and
I'd like them to stop calling it a vaccination.
Oh,
because it's not like a polio vaccination that stopped us from getting polio when I was a kid. You know,
right?
It may limit the symptoms, but it's not really a vaccination now, is it?
No, it's not. And you know what? You and I, here's the other thing, which I love having this show because I like to hear all different views. So I don't vet people out. I don't look at their background other than like, are they credible? You know, what are they speaking about? Those types of things, to have it come on so that you, the listeners, make your own decisions, you know, and to understand that even if we didn't agree on that subject, it doesn't matter because we would have still have had a respectful conversation, trying to understand one another and, you know, not be emotional about it, essentially. So
I wish we could get our politicians to think like that.
Yes. Guys, check out Diane Diamond. She is the author of 4 other books. So check those out. You can go to dianediamond.com, and that is spelled D-I-M-O-N-D. So Diane, O-O-A?
No, no A in diamond.
Oh, did I say that? Oh, I apologize. Oh,
you said it right. It's D-I-M-O-N-D. And on my website, can I just give it a little shout out?
Please.
There's lots of information on a tab called Guardianship Central. I made a glossary of terms because there's so many players in this system. You know, what do they all do? There's other resources, articles, long form articles I've written. There's all sorts of information there for people who are maybe just thinking about guardianship.
Yeah.
I don't want it in my family. That's all I can say.
Absolutely not.
Get along fine, so I'm hopeful.
Yes. Well, God bless you. Thank you so much for all that you do and all of your work. It sounds like you've been doing this for a long time, and certainly, you know, we as Americans appreciate it. You know, it's always important to have opposing, you know, views and people that actually investigate. And so thank you for having ethics and integrity in your profession as well.
Well, thank you for being interested in this topic.
I'm going to have you on again when we have another story, you know, of these issues, because yes, this is absolutely important information that needs to be shared out. So go check out our bookstore and get We're Here to Help When Guardianship Goes Wrong. And that's all the time we have for today, friends. But remember, we are on air 5 days a week, Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. All of our shows go to podcast, so make sure that you're checking us out. And until next time, be safe, be well, and God bless.
It's time.